it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And maybe somebody like Steph Curry, like an NBA one, is maybe the only thing that sort of feels comparable to me. There's nothing like finding out that you're about to play a football game without your quarterback. There's nothing harder. There's nothing worse. And so they tried to upgrade this position this offseason, and I hope it works.
Yes, and they did so on March 14th, where they went out and paid money, real money, $5 million guaranteed, $7 million over 2 years to bring in a backup that they could look at and say, all right, it's your time. Go out and win us a game. And you go to New Orleans, a team that is not top third. They're probably not middle third in football. They're probably a bottom third team. And you go there with a couple of people missing and your quarterback. My expectation is still for them to go out and win the game.
Oh, I mean,
this is why you paid Mac Jones the way you paid him.
That's an interesting word, your expectation. And by the way, for those of you, maybe if you're just kind of bebopping around, popping around, what Kyle Shanahan did report about an hour and a half ago, we will have for you in just moments. We won't let you hear it from the horse's mouth. That's a big word for me, expectation. I understand that Vegas is still telling us they're favored.
Yep.
I get that, they're the 49ers. Like, they're okay. They're supposed to win. They're playing the Saints. Mac Jones is a big-name backup quarterback. Kyle wanted to draft him 4 years ago, maybe. All of these things are going to factor into a word like that. But for me, that's the word that goes away when you lose your quarterback. I don't know what the hell to expect. I have no idea what to expect.
I mean, you could do that for almost any game. And if you look just at week one in the NFL, how many upsets were there? Teams that were, favored to win but lost the game outright? Probably at least
like
one.
Not a lot. Oh, sure. There was. I mean, I'm trying to look like I do know that survivor pools really, they held firm last week. They pretty much held firm. I think the one we're doing here at work, nobody lost. Nobody lost. So if you took the Cardinals, you were fine. If you took the Broncos, you had to sweat, but you were fine. Like upsets last week, let me look. I mean, the Chargers were an underdog. You and I both thought they were going to win. They did. Let's see. The Raiders were an underdog. Very slight. 2-point. They won that game. I have no idea who was favored in the Dolphins-Colts game. Whatever.
Yep.
The Steelers-Jets game was a tight spread. Commanders, if you had them, no problem. The Niners were favored. They won. The Packers were a slight favor over the Lions. They won. Same with the Rams. And then the Bills and Ravens was a one-point game and was like about a 1 or 2 point spread. So, yeah, nothing major. Of course, it's sports. I don't know what to expect. I'm just saying when a person at this position comes in, brand new team, new system, really hasn't been all that good in his history as an NFL quarterback anyway, I'm going to release expectations and just let curiosity take over. I'll tell you in the second half what I expect. I need to see him play first, though. I have no idea what the hell it's going to look like.
And that's fair, and I think that my expectations lie in a number of different places. One, you still have Kyle Shanahan calling plays, and you've got Christian McCaffrey, who's been amazing, and you go to New Orleans, a team that really isn't that good. They played better against Arizona than I thought they would, but Arizona is probably the fourth best team in your division. Maybe they're better than that. We don't yet know. New Orleans, to me, was not super impressive. So you go there, and it's not a hostile environment. It'll be loud, but you've got a backup quarterback who will be making his 50th start. This is not just some punchy who you're throwing in some stiff. This guy's been to the playoffs as a starter.
Right,
so
right.
I don't think the step down is as big as it was when you had Mullins or Beathard or Dobbsy or even Brandon Allen, for crying out loud.
That wasn't good when that happened last year. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's play with that. Your expectations for Sunday now are what? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. Here's Kyle Shanahan today on the injuries.
All right, injuries for today. Yetur will not practice, knee. McCaffrey will not practice, calf/vet/vet day. Trent Williams won't practice, knee/vet day. Nick Bosa won't practice, vet day. Brock Purdy won't practice, left shoulder, toe. Juwan Jennings won't practice, shoulder. Jordan James, limited finger. Jordan Watkins, limited ankle. Ben Barch, limited knee and elbow.
Okay, so
it's a long list.
That's a long list, and there are a lot of body parts in there. The vet day, whenever you have something slash vet day, I'm just like, okay, vet day.
It's a vet day.
That's right. So don't worry about Christian McCaffrey. Don't worry about Trent Williams. Certainly don't worry about Nick Bosa. They're fine. Yep. They're just taking vet days. The good news that's like tucked into all of that that no one really cares about because you've never seen him play, but I'm excited about him. Jordan Watkins is getting close to being ready, and I think he might play in this game. Rookie wide receiver that had a wonderful camp, and I think that kind of changes the ingredients of the stew when you're talking about Juwan's shoulder, Kendrick Bourne joining the team, and all of these different things that are going on at the wide receiver position. I hope Watkins gets a little run, but he's going to have to do it without his quarterback.
Right, and a little bit of run depends on the kind of game flow you're looking at, because Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Russell Gage, they got a little run.
Yeah.
Neither one got a target, and the same thing with Sky Moore. So you might have Watkins run around out there a little bit, but ultimately your offense from a passing standpoint is going to be Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, if he's able to go, and then a mixed bag of Tongis, Juszczyk, McCaffrey, Farrell. It's going to be... it's a Shanahan game where he's going to have to get super creative with how he deploys his five eligibles. And I do think you're going to see Robinson and McCaffrey on the field at the same time, which we didn't see in week one.
I would hope so. I would hope so. Yeah. I mean, the good news about this, again, I'd rather have this game this weekend with the Niners knowing all week that they don't have Brock Purdy,
yeah,
as opposed to him getting hurt in series one. And then you've got a fire drill and it's like, okay, Mac, go out there and execute a game plan that you're not good at, you know? Like, hey, offensive line, now we've got a quarterback who's not going to have the same escapability. He does not have the legs that Brock Purdy has. And that's become a big part of what the 49ers do. Here's the money one. This is what y'all need to hear. And then you tell me when you think you're going to see Brock Purdy play football again. Listen to Kyle. He's asked specifically about Sunday.
Any further sense about whether Brock will be able to play on Sunday?
I think it's a long shot.
Is it possible that Purdy's injury could be a multi-week thing?
It's possible.
And that's the toe more so than the shoulder.
Yes. Could be a multi-week injury. How did the injury happen, Kyle?
Brock, did someone step on his foot in the pocket? Do you know how the toe injury happened?
Yeah, I think it happened scrambling. I think when Love tackled him by the sideline, I believe it happened.
Were you aware he was playing through that in the game, or is it just something you found out later?
No, I was aware.
Oh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And I don't know, I've never had turf toe. I think most people don't even know what the hell that is.
No, it's agony.
You've had it,
of course.
Have you really?
It's really...
how the hell did you get turf toe?
Playing basketball, where you go to make a cut, and you just jam your foot into the hardwood, and your toe between... your big toe from the end to your foot, like in the middle, it just like bulbouses up, it throbs up, and sometimes it gets black and blue.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Kyle was asked, is this turf toe?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you say he has turf toe?
If you want me to. That's a generic thing for anything on the bottom of the big toe, and since it's halfway between the side and the bottom, that's why we don't say turf toe, but it's the third time you've asked me, so I'll call it turf toe for you if you want.
Third time you've asked me. Love it.
Kyle Shanahan, this might be, and we've had some zingers already this year. We've had some good answers. We've had questionable concern. We've had, is Jake Moody your quarterback today? Yeah, absolutely. What about tomorrow? No idea. And then there's this. Is it turf toe? If you want it to be, listen to this again.
Can you say what he has, turf toe?
If you want me to. That's a generic thing for anything on the bottom of the big toe. And since it's halfway between the side and the bottom, that's why we don't say turf toe. But it's the third time you've asked me, so I'll call it turf toe for you if you want.
Did you say it was turf toe? If you want me to. All right, then the next question should be, did you say that Brock Purdy is playing? Well, if you want me to,
right.
Well, then say it, Kyle. Say that Brock Purdy's going to play through this injury. Say it. Say it now.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. Don't think that he's going to say it because, you know, he doesn't know and stuff. And, you know, got to see how the toe responds. But you mentioned it earlier and you made a great point about preparation. If you at all have doubt about whether or not your quarterback's going to be there, and there's clearly a lot of doubt, you've got to use every second to get Mac Jones up to speed. And then if you get to Sunday and Brock suddenly is like, hey, coach, my toe feels a whole lot better, well, then you can flip Brock back in the game because he's got all the experience, and you could just change it on the fly that way. You can't change it the other way, like you were saying.
Uno mas is Mac Jones ready to go.
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy who'll hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
Okay, so an endorsement of Mac Jones, who very likely will be the Niners' starting quarterback in New Orleans.
And I, you know, wanted to draft him and stuff, and I got talked out of it by somebody, and so we ended up with Trey Lance and stuff, but I've always had my eye on Mac, and I really like him a lot and stuff.
Look, at some point today, I actually would love to briefly dial back and just find, what do you believe? What do you believe actually happened in that draft? Do you believe that Kyle Shanahan traded up to get Mac Jones? Or do you believe that he did not? Or do you believe that it was a smokescreen? Or do you believe that somebody did change his mind? Or do you believe that nobody could change Kyle Shanahan's mind about what quarterback he wanted to take? Like, what do you think actually happened?
I think that he got his mind changed by Trey Lance and by scouts. When he saw Trey Lance and you got to meet him and you realize, you know, he's a smart guy. Yep. And he checks a lot of boxes for Kyle, and he's got this unbelievable athleticism. I think that as a group think, they all kind of pivoted and thought, we got to get this guy. So I want one of them.
Huge, huge five quarterback top 15 picks. And none of them, right? None of them. Like, some of them are, they're in the league, they're okay. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, nobody's a star.
Not a star, no. None of them.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.